Luke chapter 7, look at verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him. This is interesting. As you know, a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they thought that Jesus was a blasphemer. He couldn't possibly be the real Messiah. Why is this particular Pharisee inviting Jesus to his house? Often, Pharisees were quite wealthy, so that means that his house was likely substantial. And also, too, in this time, because of no air conditioning, oftentimes when you were going to host a large group of people, like Thanksgiving, you would hold it in the courtyard. And the courtyard itself often had a main entrance, and the entrance was a kind of a fence of sorts, and people walking by could sort of look in. Likely, this is where this event is happening, at a Pharisee's house who is quite wealthy, and it's not unusual for folks who have some means to invite, oh, I don't know, sort of the hot button of the moment into their home. And let's mix it up a little bit. As you know, Jesus at this point, he's quite a controversial figure. So we don't know his motivation, but let's keep an eye on how it unfolds. So one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Alabaster is a mineral of the earth, and you can carve it and polish it, but it's still porous, like many elements that you pull out of the earth. And usually the little holes are not big enough for the liquid to seep through, but at the molecular level or just above, there's enough of a hole that at body temperature would warm up, that you would have a sort of a release of that beautiful fragrance. And it was if you were rich, that was one thing, but we're going to find out something more about this lady here. She is going to do something with her long and obvious hair. In this society, long hair, not really sort of under a cover of some kind, was usually reserved for the professional women of their age, if you sort of know what I mean. And this flask, so to speak, was also a bit of an advertisement. Not long before this, in fact, a few hours ago in the narrative, Jesus had said to a large crowd, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This lady somehow had access to this courtyard, very likely, perhaps the gate was open. And it would seem that this woman, who is likely a professional woman of sorts, and her tools of the trade, her long and obvious hair, was a bit of an advertisement, and this time-release, beautiful fragrance. She evidently was in that crowd when Jesus had said, "Are you wiped out? Are you burdened?" And it would seem that she takes Jesus up on his offer. So she crashes this party, so to speak. Verse 37, one more time. Then a woman in the city who was a sinner, likely a harlot, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table at the Pharisee's house, she came into the courtyard, it would seem, and she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she stood at his feet behind him. Now remember, most times they didn't have chairs as we're sort of used to, and the table would be set low. So you would lean into the table with your feet hanging sort of outside around the periphery, and the table would be in front of you here. So his feet are behind him, and while this Pharisee is who knows what his motivation, he's got that controversial carpenter from Nazareth. And she walks up, and look what she does. And stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Have you ever been heavy laden and burdened? You sort of hold it together, you know. And then when you get before the Lord, it all comes pouring out. Weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with a hair of her head. her long hair was long enough that she could do that, meaning it wasn't under a covering, meaning we sort of know who this woman is. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to himself. So he's saying this in his own heart, saying, what kind of prophet is this guy? This man, if he were a prophet, would know what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Now that's what's going on in his heart. The Bible says that only God the Father knows the heart, so it would seem that this is one of those areas where Jesus does know what he's thinking. Is Jesus God? He certainly is. Verse 40. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, who is the Pharisee's name, I have something to say to you. So he, Simon, said, Teacher, say it. He says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii. A denarii is roughly a day's wage, so this is almost really 2 years' salary. And the other, 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. So tell me, therefore, which of them will love him, the creditor, more? Simon answered and said, Well, I suppose the one who forgave more. He forgave more. And he said to him, You have rightfully judged. Verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? Can you picture her there? Weeping, catharsis, I believe, of sorts. And she's weeping so strenuously that it's beating the dust on Jesus' feet. So is she embarrassed? Is she whatever? So she's wiping with her own hair. I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. That's a major faux pas. This is a social engagement step number one. Any guests come to your house, the first thing you give them is you give them water for their feet. Because what do your feet look like? In sandals all day. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. In many cultures, a kiss on the cheek is very common. This Pharisee did not do that. This is a sign of disrespect, actually. We don't know the motivation of the Pharisee, but my hunch is it was surface at best, because he did not kiss Jesus when he arrived, which would be the custom. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in, but did not anoint my head with oil. Another social classic that you would do, you would offer someone an idea of freshening up and to run a little oil perhaps through their hair, and among other things, but you didn't do that. But this woman has anointed my feet with the fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And the person we can quickly and most easily recognize as the kind of the bummer in the story would be the Pharisee. Yeah, you know, hey, you give it to him, Jesus. But what's been sort of rattling around in my heart this week was, I am that Pharisee. What? I can be this person. Two things are happening. We don't know why he was allowing Jesus to sort of come in, but as you can see, he did nothing to make Jesus feel a sense of, I'm really glad you're here. The lady comes in, and as you know, she is having a catharsis, and she is pouring tears so strenuously that she has to mop them up with her hair. If you will, the instruments of her former, or of her trade, her hair and her fragrant oil, are now being fully dedicated to this task at hand, to the Lord Jesus. Two things that this Pharisee is doing. He is disregarding Jesus. And he is looking down on the woman. Yeah, we know that, Steve. That's easy to see. Everybody knows that story. But have I ever looked at someone and their appearance and disregarded them quickly? And if anyone should ever treat them well, that would puzzle me. Is there love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, meekness, and self-control in how the Pharisee looked at or didn't look at this woman because he was convinced she didn't deserve it? And I can do the same thing, especially for the difficult people in my life. We look at their appearance, or we remember what they have said or what they have done, you know. And we're like, I'm going to fold my arms and I'm just going to look down upon them. And I have zero compassion. And when I am in that mindset and I open my scriptures, there's Jesus. And it could be more surface of an acquaintance, relationship, and interchange than I even can imagine. This notion of they that have been forgiven much, love what? Much. And those that, well, I know I'm a sinner, you know, and, you know, I'll go through the motions, but really and truly, I can come to a place even like this and be more surface than I suspect I'm being. Now, Thanksgiving's tomorrow, and many of us, are going to be with family and friends. Not everybody, but perhaps many. And if we're not careful, there's Uncle So-and-so. Oh, yeah, that guy. There's Aunt So-and-so. And as you know, typically when those families get together, throw a little alcohol in, and then everybody's heartburn starts coming out, and difficult things are said. Remember this story, the Pharisee, who was around a whole lot of people at a dinner. And because of his attitude, he was doing two things that he was unaware of. He was unaware that he was dismissing this woman. He frankly wouldn't care whether she left and he never saw her again. And while he was in that sort of heart condition, he missed Jesus. Watch what happens at the end of the story. Verse 46, one more time. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. This is not an issue of who sinned more. It is an issue of, do I really understand what my sin has done? He would be, well, okay, yeah, I've sinned. I've broken some of the law. He's a Pharisee, remember. He knows practically by memory all those 613 do's and don'ts. Sure, I've broken a couple, but that's what the temple is for. And he's walking around potentially thinking, yeah, I've done my sin, but, you know, I got my thing and I'm okay with God. And God happens to be sitting right next to him. And he's trying to tell the Pharisee, you've missed two important interactions here. You've missed me. And because you've missed what I can bring in the form of full salvation, release, and freedom, and you missed an opportunity to be thankful. She didn't. She didn't miss a thing. I know who you are. You're the Messiah. And she grabbed his feet and all of her burdened life came pouring out. And like many of us, have you been there with the Lord? So aware of his holy and loving presence that you're brought to tears? And have you ever been with the Lord in such a manner? You're apprehended, truly. By what he has forgiven you of. In Harvest, that's where worshipers come from. Because they recognize, do you know how much I've been forgiven of? Oh, Lord. Verse 47, therefore I say to you, Harvest, that lady who recognized really and truly what her sin has cost, which are many, they are forgiven. That's why she is worshiping. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Verse 48, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Who's the only person that can do that, you guys? That'd be God. Verse 40, and those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? That's a legitimate question. What's the actual answer? Who is he? He is God. He is the Messiah. He is wonderful. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and there he is. And the government one day will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. Who is this? It's Messiah. It's Isaiah 9, verse 6, verse 50. And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in and don't miss this. Peace.